I want to start out with just kind of a declaration, because as I was preparing and kind of cramming last night for the word today, I felt like the Lord spoke something to me, and he said, I want you to know who you're speaking to today. And I felt like he just began to say some things about who we are as a people. And who I'm speaking to today are people who have been created for such a time as this. And I feel like there's a truth that the Lord wants to implant in us today, that we have a revelation that we are exactly equipped for this time, that this is our for such a time as this moment as the body of Christ, and that we not be distracted or discouraged or deceived into thinking that we have lost something, that we don't know where we're at or what we're doing, because you were created for this time. You were created to have influence in this time. You were created for a hungry, hurting people. And you have a message for them in this time. You have a message in the words that you say. You have a message in the way that you walk and live in this season. And that's who I'm talking to today. And so I'm a little excited, because I feel like there's something the Lord wants to stir up in us, that we have an understanding of what we're called to for this time. This is not a mistake. You're here on purpose, for a purpose in this time. And so I want us to be really clear about that, that even as there's things on the outside of us that feel that are weak, that are becoming faulty and weak, he is strengthening you in your inner man. He is solidifying some things on the inside of you, and he doesn't want you to be distracted by the weak things of the world, because he's bringing strength inside of us. And so I'm coming today to speak that, and I'm coming today, honestly, to receive that. I'm receiving the word that I'm preaching today. I'm receiving the truth when I feel dismayed and discouraged and disappointed and confused. I'm receiving the truth that the Lord's speaking to us today. This is your time. This is your purpose that I've set aside for you. So that's who we are today as we talk about what I feel like the Lord's given me. I believe that part of the thing that he's doing internally inside of us is he is refining and strengthening our understanding of authority in these days. I told you when I preached a couple weeks ago on joy that I felt like the Lord was stirring a word in me about the connection between peace and authority, and this reality that we get to walk out both peace and authority in this season. And so I'm going to kind of pick that up. And one of the kind of the Bible story of the day that I want us to jump off from is in Mark chapter 4, verse 35. It's a familiar story to a lot of us. Mark chapter 4, verse 35. On the same day, when evening had come, he, being Jesus, said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." So this is Jesus talking to the disciples. They've just had a hard day of being disciples. And they were Jesus was sharing parables. They were preaching and teaching. But Jesus said, "Okay, let's cross over to the other side." Now, when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was, and the other little boats were also with him. And a great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. I love that little addition in Mark's version. He was in the stern, asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" Then he arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." And the wind ceased and there was a great calm. And he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" And they feared exceedingly and said to one another, Who can this be that even the wind and the sea obey him? So I believe in this story, there's this correlation that gets created for me between peace and authority. There's a correlation that I see even as it relates to how our faith is tied to peace and authority. And so we have this picture of Jesus who's sleeping through the storm. He is in a place of peace in the midst of turmoil going on around outside of him. He's sleeping through the storm, which I think amazed the disciples as much as his commanding of the storm, quite honestly. And so they wake him up with the same question that I wake Jesus up with sometimes. Do you not care? How many of you have ever prayed that prayer? Do you not see what's going on? And so they wake him up with that question. Do you not care that we're perishing? And so then he speaks to the storm and he commands it to stop. And I see this connection between his ability to be in peace and then his ability to speak in authority. So when we're talking about peace, the words that we're looking at in the New Testament and in the Old Testament, but I'm primarily looking at the word in the New Testament, it has to do with not being in turmoil. Another way to look at it with the way that the word is put together in the original language is to be joined with well-being. That to walk in peace is to be joined, to become one with a sense of well-being, to be joined to that. Harmony is another way that it's sometimes described. Safety, security, to fear nothing. So Jesus was in this place of perfect peace where he feared nothing in that time as the boat's being rocked and as it's filling with water. And what I see is in Jesus' example is this reality of what is going on around me is not shaking me on the inside. That's what I see as peace. That when I'm in a place of peace, it doesn't mean I'm in a really quiet garden and there's not a lot of noise and there's really nothing to be afraid of. It means when I'm in a place of peace, it means whatever's going on around me is not manifesting inside of me in an area of fear. That's the place of peace. And I believe that we need to find a place of peace in order to speak with a voice of authority. So this is a season that we are working at finding that place of peace. How do we step into this place of peace? The reason that I feel like they're tied together is because I think peace is authority on the inside. Peace is stepping into this place where I say, I am not ruled by what's going on there. I'm ruling myself internally into this place of peace. And not only that, the kingdom of heaven is ruling inside of me. The ways of heaven, the faith that I have in who Jesus is ruling me on the inside. That's why I believe that finding that place of peace is what allows me then to have a voice of authority to the things that are going on the outside of me. And so it's important that we can find that. In Colossians 3:15, it says, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. And that's what I've been asking myself lately on a daily basis. Is the peace of God ruling on the inside of me? And is the peace of God ruling my thoughts? And is the peace of God ruling my words? Is the peace of God ruling my actions? And so this is this place that we're in to allow ourselves to be governed on the inside by the peace of God. That's the place we need to find in this season. Obviously, the source of that, in the same way, when I talked about finding joy, that our joy is found in Jesus, the source of our peace is in Jesus, the Prince of Peace. We talked about a couple weeks ago that Jesus is well qualified to be the joy giver because God blessed him with joy above all others. He carried that. He came as the one who brings joy. And the same is true about peace. He is the Prince of Peace. When in Luke, when the angel was heralding the coming of Jesus, the declaration was peace on earth, goodwill to men, because Jesus has come, is coming. And so we know that he came to bring peace. Also in Luke, there's a prophecy there that talks about that he came to guide our feet in the way of peace. And so this is who Jesus is. This is how we find that place, is that we come to him. Not only is he the source of it, but he willingly, freely, generously wants to give it to us. He came not just to like be it, like, look, this is what peace looks like. Try harder. But he came to actually give it to us. In John chapter 14, verse 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. Not as the world gives do I give you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He's giving his peace to us. And not only that, he's differentiating the kind of peace that I give is not like the kind of peace the world gives. And this is a reminder to us that we cannot go to any other source for peace. We cannot find it in anything that's going on in the world. There's a part of me that sometimes goes, if just this thing would change, I could be at peace. If I can make this change, then we can have peace. There is no source of peace beyond the peace of God that's through Jesus, what he left us. And so as we're searching for peace, as we're trying to find that place, as we're navigating, where is peace in the midst of this? Don't look anywhere else. We are not going to find peace anywhere else. We're not going to find peace in any result or anything that we can make happen if we don't know how to find the place of peace in the midst of the storm in Jesus who left it for us. He is our peace. In Ephesians 4, 6 and 7, it says, "Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses, which is above, which is greater than, which is more than, the peace of God that surpasses understanding, that will guard your hearts." That's the place, that's the shelter of peace that I run into. Again, this is a struggle for me. As we've discussed, I am obsessed with information. I love information because I think it leads me to understanding. So I'm always looking, okay, and I want to look at all the different information. That is not my place of peace. In fact, how's that working out for me? Not so well. If we want to trade peace for understanding in this season, we're going to lose. Because there's no peace in trying to understand right now. So where is this place of peace that I can come into? This is the place that I need to come to lean into the peace of who Jesus is. I'm sure you've heard the kind of word picture before, but for me, what it looks like is Jesus is sleeping in the boat, and I'm just going to curl up next to him. I just want to curl up next to him, and I want to hear the steadiness of his breath. Think about that internally, to just hear and to know. You know why our kids in the middle of the storm want to come and lay by us? Because we're not afraid, and they are. And they want to lay next to us in the midst of the storm and not be afraid with us, because we're not. And that's what I want to do with Jesus. When he's sleeping in the storm, when he's at peace, honestly, even when I just said the words out of my mouth, I go, what is he doing sleeping in the storm? Like there's something I don't like about that. But can we look at it and see it as coming into this place of peace with him? And to know that he's not afraid. I don't have to be afraid. I can come into this place of peace. I don't need to strive for understanding. Numerous times in my life when there's been a turmoil going on, oftentimes it's surrounding loss, the turmoil of loss. The Lord, as I've come to him with my questions, why this, why that, he said, you can have peace or you can have understanding right now. What do you pick? I'm going with peace every time. Because it's that place, number one, that I find him. I find him in the midst of that. That's the place that he's in as the Prince of Peace. In Isaiah 26, 3, it says of the Lord, you will keep in perfect peace those whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. When my mind is stayed on him, it means that I'm leaning completely. That's what's that word stayed. It means it's laid on him. It's leaning completely. It's sustained. The weight of it is sustained. When my mind is stayed on him, when I make that my focus, Jesus, who are you right now in this time? Jesus, what are you doing? Where is your peace in this? That's how I stay in a perfect peace, by keeping my mind on him. And my heart for us as a body is that we can come to this place of peace, that we're anchored to this reality of who he is, knowing that he's our protector, that he's our provider, that he's our source. And we need to get to that place of peace. If you're not in that place of peace, I encourage you, get there. Pursue the Lord in that. How do I find that place of peace? I talked to maybe last month about being led in the wilderness and leaning on Jesus, coming out of a difficult time, leaning on Jesus. I believe this is still something that he's after in this season, that we would lean into him for this perfect peace. Now, if you're in that place, well done. It's good. You know, when we've fought to stay, do you know that peace is your inheritance? And we can continue to claim that. No, this is part of my inheritance. Why? Because he said he left it for us. My peace I leave you. So for those of you that have fought to stay in that place, who have declared that God has you, that he's covering you, that he's protecting your family, that have stayed in that place, you've leaned into him, that's good. We want to continue to take those moments to rest with him and to stay in that place. But here's the thing. Peace is just the warm-up. There is a next level of where we go. There's a next place to go from the place of peace. So it's good. It's good when we find that place of peace. That's where we're meant to live. It's our inheritance. But it's so that we can step into the place of authority. That's the goal. So it's good that we find that place. But I believe that as we do, what it's going to bring about in us is a greater understanding of our authority in this time. And that's where I believe that the Lord is calling us into. We know it wasn't just about getting the disciples through the storm. This is not a season that's just about enduring the storm. But he wants to empower us for authority in this time. So it wasn't just that he was saying to the disciples, I don't know what your faith is. You could have ride this out and been just fine. You would have gotten wet, it would have been fine. No, he was beyond that. He had peace, and he wanted them to be in that place of peace with them so that they could also understand their authority, that they could see that in him. And know when he said to them that I'm giving you all authority, what that meant and what that looks like. So peace is good. We cannot camp out at peace. That's the warm-up. That's the, if we're going to summit the mountain, peace is the base camp. But authority is the place that he's calling us to. So we get that. Peace is the place we have to come out of. And part of the reason is because I cannot have a voice of authority with any other foundation but faith. My voice of authority cannot be connected to fear. If peace is fearing nothing, that's the platform now that I can speak from a voice of authority. Someone was telling me a story this week. Actually, I don't think she'd mind if I said. Kathy was telling me a story this week about being out for a walk one night and noticing that there was a dog following and kind of menacing. And that something rose up on the inside of her, and she turned around and she said, "Go home." And how many, and it did, by the way, how many of you know, can you imagine Kathy even talking like that? I can't imagine that. But she did. How many of you know that if I address that same dog from a place of fear, the response is completely different? But when we come to a place of knowing, I'm not in fear, I'm completely grounded and anchored in the reality of peace, the voice of authority is a completely different voice. And my concern is that sometimes we try to use a voice of authority and it's coming from a place of fear. We have to find that place of peace so that we can speak with authority. And once we find that place of peace, we have to move on into authority. The source of authority, time and time again, Jesus has connected to faith. Both peace and authority are connected to faith. That's what his question was, why don't you have any faith? Amen. And in some ways what he was saying is, don't you know that you have authority? So, basic background on authority. One of the things that, just as foundational, we know in Genesis chapter 1, at the creation story, that God said, "Let us make man in our image, according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the sea and the birds, over all the earth." That's the mandate that God created for mankind when he created mankind. That there would be this partnership between God and man to bring about on earth his kingdom, the ways of his kingdom, to reproduce that, but also to have authority. And we know that they gave up to some degree in sin and the fall of man when they agreed with the enemy instead of agreeing with God. That's another hit to our authority. When we come into agreement with what it is that we see the enemy doing, and fear is coming into agreement with what it is we see the enemy doing. So the authority was sort of abdicated. That dominion was abdicated at the fall of man. And that's one of the things, one of the main things that Jesus did by dying on the cross. He came back to reclaim that authority for mankind. He came back to reclaim our right and our ability to creatively speak and create change on earth as God had originally intended. And so that's what I want to look at, that we have not only, that's why we can't camp out in peace, because not only do we have the ability and the right to do that, we have the mandate to do that. Peace is good, but we have another job to do on earth, and that is to bring his kingdom, anything that is his will, anything that looks like his kingdom, to bring that to earth. So he came to reestablish authority. Let's look at Matthew chapter 16, I hope. Is that my hair doing that? Okay. Okay, so chapter 16, verse 15. Now let's start with verse 13. So Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, and he asked his disciples, saying, "Who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" So they said, "Some say John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." But he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Which I always point out, because I think it's a good reminder to us, that sometimes we can be so focused on our concern with who other people say he is, that we forget about what we're saying about who he is. And Jesus' concern was more about, okay, but who do you say I am? That's what he's looking for from us as we step into a place of authority. Who do you say I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Jesus answered and said to him, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed that to you, but my Father who is in heaven. And I also say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. And I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." And then he did that weird thing that he often did. He commanded the disciples not to tell anybody that he was the Christ. But part of that had to do with timing, I guess. But what I want to look at is this revelation. When we look at this verse, we see, "You are Peter, and on this rock," little r, "I will build my church." What he's talking about is this rock, this revelation that you've just had is a foundation for what I'm going to build my church on. Peter said, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." So Jesus is who he says he is. That's the foundation that he's going to build the church on. And then he goes on to talk about the church and the power that the church is going to have. "On this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven." So there's a couple things I want to pick apart in this verse in a good way. That's not a bad. I want to pick apart some of the verbiage here. When we're talking about the keys that he's given, how many of you know that even now, but especially then, keys had to do with authority? Do you know we have a certain level of keys given out for this building based on your level of authority in this building? Do you know who has the most keys? Kathy. Well, so I don't know now if that's proving my point or not. But there's a reality that there's keys come with a level of authority, that there's a master key that somebody gets that needs to have authority to get into all the places. And this is what Jesus is saying. He's speaking multiple times in this little section. He's speaking to authority. Multiple times. Now, what's cool is when we can understand what these different things meant to the original audience, we can see that even more clearly. So he says, on this rock, on this foundation, on this revelation that was revealed to you by God, this is what I'm building my church on. The other thing he talks about is the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. Gates, again, in that day, were speaking to authority. The gates were a place of authority. They're a place of a governing entity. And he's not talking about, sometimes, I don't think anyone's ever taught me this wrong thinking, but I've often thought the church is here and Hades, the darkness, the authority of darkness is coming against the church and it's not going to prevail. It's not going to be able to overcome us. And so I've had this picture of us as the church holding back the gates as the darkness is coming. But that's not what this says, is it? This is an offensive authority that he's talking about, that the church is speaking in authority, and it's the gates of darkness that are under attack. It's the gates of darkness that will not prevail against the authority that he's giving the church, which is based on this revelation of who Christ is. And so we see it opens up for us what this authority means. The other piece is that he uses the term church, which for us is church, and it looks like this. But that's not the term he used, because this didn't exist at that time in this exact way. He used the term ecclesia, which was a word in that day that, again, had to do with authority. And I think there's times when we've kind of said, yep, it means called out ones, or it means this. In this day and age, it had to do with two or three people or a delegation of people that had authority to do something on behalf of a nation, to come together, the gathering of people to govern. And so what he's saying is, I'm building my church. It hadn't been, this is a new concept that was being released out of his mouth, because what they're picturing is, they're picturing a gathering of governing authorities coming together. And he says, that's what I'm building my church on. There's an authority that my church is going to carry. And I think that we need to recognize that we have an authority that is way more significant than we think. And that it's been something that's been set in motion from this point of revelation and was enacted by what Jesus did, that we just need to step into. In Matthew 18, so just a little bit further on, he refers to, again, the binding and loosing. Matthew 18, verse 18. Assuredly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, I say that if two of you agree on earth concerning any one thing that they ask, it will be done for them by their Father in heaven. He's referring again, when he says, if two or three of you are gathered, this has to do with this governing authority. I believe that this large corporate gathering is necessary, but I need us to understand that it only takes two or three of us to have authority. That there is an authority that is released when we, in our homes, speak and declare and bind and loose things. We need to recognize that this authority is already set in motion as something very powerful. We need to recognize that when we're standing in this authority, we aren't praying from earth to heaven. We are declaring from heaven to earth, because that's where this authority is. That where we bind and loose, it's releasing something. Another thing that's cool about the wording there, it gets translated, whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. The actual word-for-word translation is, will have been bound. That there's something that has happened. We've talked about that we've been invited into a victory, not into a battle. There are things that have been set in motion that we get to just speak into being, because we're under the authority of the King of Kings, who's already established this is what's going to be happening. So we have an authority that we can step into. And what I want is, I want to be really careful. This has been my focus. Lord, I do not want to trade or devalue heavenly authority for the sake of an earthly power struggle. I don't want to not recognize how much authority I have in heavenly places because of what I see happening on earth. And I believe he wants us to see that. It's interesting in Romans 8:37, in the verse that says, yet in all these things, this is Paul talking, in all these things, the things he's talking about is he's having persecution by the Roman government, by the Roman authorities. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Again, he's speaking a language. These are Romans that he's talking to. These are Roman believers that he's speaking to in Romans. And he's saying to them, in all of this, I want you to know that we are more than conquerors. Conquerors is a Roman word for taking over a land, for coming in and oppressing. And he's saying, Paul is saying, we're more than that because we have an authority that is higher than that. I think sometimes we look at that, and it's true, saying we have like greater than victory, like overwhelming victory. Yes, we have that. But also what he's saying is we're more than those who conquer on earth because we're walking in a heavenly authority through Christ Jesus. That's what his statement is. So we know we are not wrestling against flesh and blood. But sometimes it's really hard to keep that in mind when we're looking at the things around us. If we're not standing in that place of perfect peace, and if we're striving for understanding instead, it can become this wrestling, this earthly power struggle. But the Lord is calling a church to take authority in the Spirit, to take authority to bring the things of the kingdom. Make no mistake, I'm not saying that there are not there are some heavy hitters in the Spirit going on right now as it relates to the things that are trying to be brought on the earth. But what I am saying is we need to recognize that we have the authority of the heaviest hitter. And that's the place that we can speak. We're not fighting against people. But we do see that there's demonic influences surrounding these issues. We need to be aware of that, but we need to be most aware of it from a spiritual perspective and from a place where I recognize I have authority to bring the kingdom of God. And one of the first places I have it is right here internally. That's where the peace comes from. Sometimes we see people who are trying to bring an authority out there, and there's no governing happening in here. And then they end up on Facebook. You know? But there's a governing that we can do. But then it's not only our right, but it is our mandate to then speak in authority for these things. So this is what that looks like for me. I will not strive against an earthly authority. I will do everything that I can do to steward what I have, the voice that I have here. But for me, that's just not going to be where my battle is. And so for me, that means when I go into a store and I need to wear a mask, I put on a mask. But I also recognize that I have a mandate to speak with authority against the things that mask reminds me about, I guess. So I can go to the Lord, this is not okay with me. I can wear my mask in the store. That doesn't hinder my ability to have authority. But then I also need to know that as I'm doing that, I can be speaking and binding the spirit of fear. I can be binding disease. I can be binding control. I can be binding the divisiveness. And I can do it first in me, but then I begin to speak to it in the area around me. I can do it in my family. I can do it in my community. I can do it in my church body. That's what that looks like for me. I'm not going to strive against an earthly authority. But I do really, really, really want to step into the place of understanding my heavenly authority and what that means. And that doesn't mean that I just go, oh, well, this is how it is. It means that I recognize the things that do not look like heaven that are on earth right now. And I bind them, but more importantly, I loose the truth of heaven in the midst of it. I speak the truth. I act the truth of heaven. I walk out what that looks like. I think sometimes in this season, we can get very focused on coming against and binding those things. But I believe that the Lord wants to begin to have us use our authority to speak life, to speak the opposite of those things that we see. And we can do that even over people that we don't agree with, but we can speak blessing over them for the sake of seeing change happen. And I have an authority to do that, to speak blessing. Okay, I'm like halfway finished. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm just going to pray. Lord, I thank you that you're helping us to understand authority in a different way. I thank you that you are helping us to find our place of peace and our voice of authority. I thank you that that we are empowered specifically for this season. And I just bless each person to know where their voice of authority is in this time and to recognize the strength and the power of the authority that you have given us to both bind and loose on earth. We ask, God, that you would expand our understanding of that. We ask, God, that as a church body, we would come into the fullness of the authority that you meant for us to walk in. And we thank you that you meet us in both places. You meet us in the place of peace, and you meet us when we speak with a voice of authority, that we do it from the revelation of who you are and what you've done. In Jesus' name, amen. Sorry, there'll be prayer teams up front for anybody that would like prayer. Bless your week.